Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachos daf Zayin. Begin on the bottom of the Avama Beis, on the bottom line. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlekes in our mission regarding if one of the psulin did the avodah of the kemitza in the mincha and the flower offering. Tanakhama said, it's possible it's invalid and there's nothing that can be done about it. But Maseir said, you're right, it wasn't done appropriately. Just put it back in and then do it in the appropriate fashion. So on that, the Gemara had quoted two Tanoim who qualified this opinion of Ben Beseira, and said that, when did he say that? It's only if the apostle did the kemitza, but it was not yet niskadash bekli. There's four types of avodas that are by the kemitza, just like by an animal carbon. The kemitza, which is like the shechita, the kabbalah, which is like the kabbalah by the dam, then there's the halacha, and then there's the sacrificing of that kemitza. So in that they said, it's only if it's komatzvali kiddush, but if it was kiddush, it's going to be apostle. And as the Gemara explained, Rav Nachman said, the reason is because, although when the apostle does the avoda, it's significant and different, it can invalidate it, but up until the kemitza is put into the kli that receives it, it's not considered a completed act of kemitza, and therefore it's not going to be invalidated. But when the kemitza is put in, that's already too late, even according to Ben Beseira, and therefore, even there he would agree that you can't put it back in anymore, it's already going to be possible. But if it's just done the kemitza, then you can put it back in and do it over again. That's why Gemara continues and says, Ihachi, but if that's the case, that you're saying once even Ben Beseira would hold, if it's put into a vessel, it's in the Scottish Bukli, you can't put it back in anymore, it's invalidated the mincha, then a filoloi kiddush, then even if it's in the case that they're qualifying in Ben Beseira, that it wasn't put into a vessel, and you're saying that, okay, that Ben Beseira holds, you could put it back into the original vessel and do it over, but as we continue to Babzayin and Aleph, but when now that you go at it and you're saying, according to Ben Beseira, that you put the kemitza back into its original place, into the rest of the isarin of the flower offerings, tikdish velivsil, that initial vessel should sanctify and thus invalidate it. Because now you did a matan kli with the kemitza of apostle. Because what's the difference, as Rashi explains, this kli sharis or another kli sharis? Whereas Taisa says, although in the initial klisharas, the shirayim, the leftovers, the rest of it is separating between the kemitza and the vessel, but min b'mina in the chaitz is when it's the same type of thing which the flower doesn't interpose, and therefore that itself should be considered a niskabel kli. And you said that when the kemitza that was done by the apostle is put into a kli, it completes the act of invalidation and thus invalidates it. So why does Ben Beseira hold you can put it back in, but when you put it back in, you're putting it into a kli, which should thus invalidate it? So Amar Yechon, he says, Zoysimeres, this tells us that kli sharis ain mekachin ela medas, that a service vessel only sanctifies when it's done with conscious decision to have it sanctified. Now, here, when they're putting it back to the original vessel, they're not doing it with the intention of having it sanctified. They're putting it to put it back to start it over again. And therefore, that's not considered kiddush bekli to be the conclusion of that initial maisa kemitza to invalidate it by having been done in an invalidated way through a puzzle. So now the Gemara is homidas mekachin, but if it's done with intention, then it would sanctify it? Meaning, even though it's being done by a psul, when he puts the kemitza in the base cable, then you're saying that it would sanctify it? But regarding a service vessel, maushi kachu psulin, what's the halacha regarding someone invalid or being done in an invalid way to sanctify the kemitza likatchila initially likarv to have it sacrificed? Another, for example, let's say a zar, a non-kohen, does the kemitza and he puts it into a vessel. Rish Lakish asks Rabbi Yechanan, what's the halacha? Will the vessel sanctify it so that it allow it, this kemitza, to be sacrificed on the mizbeach? No, it does not sanctify it. So that contradicts Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon just said what's called in Yiddish the Shpar. You can infer that obviously the Kli Sharis is not going to sanctify it because that's not his intention. It only sanctifies with intent. But Rish Lakish, but the inference was, but with intent, even with the puzzle, it would be Mekadosh. But Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechon, and he said that it's not going to be Mekadosh. So that the Gemara says, which the Gersa takes out the words Amalei, but that's the idea, is that what Rabbi Yechon was telling him was, in Mekachin Likariv, you're asking me if a psul, a zar, does the kemitza, puts it into klisharis, is it going to sanctify it? When I said it's not going to sanctify it, I was saying it's not going to sanctify it to allow it to be sacrificed, because it was done with a psul. A psul doesn't allow it to go out and be sacrificed, even though it's put into klisharis. Of Mekachin Lipasul, but that doesn't contradict the first statement Rabbi Yechon has said, it will sanctify it if there's das to invalidate it. Because the vessel does make it permanently sanctified if your intention is to be mekadosh it, to invalidate it. In other words, that you can't go ahead now and put it back to the initial leftovers because it's invalidated, because like we said, that is the conclusion of the Avoda. So could it sanctify it? Likariv, no. Lipasal, yeah. Now, Rav Amar, he gives a different interpretation. He says that, no, even if it's Shalei Midas, even if the person's intention is not to sanctify it, the Klisharis will sanctify it. But then we're back to the question, so if that's the case, so then even if you put it back into the original vessel, that should be the conclusion of the invalidation of the kmitz of the psul. And that says Rav Amar, no, here it's not going to be sanctified. Why? How is it not sanctified when you put it back into the original vessel? Is Toma, where he puts it back into an overflowing visa, which a visa is the service vessel, which is where they mix the flour offering, where it's not going back into the airspace of the vessel. So the vessel is not sanctifying it, because it's only the airspace. Here the flour of the vessel that he did the kmitza from is overflowing. So when he puts it back in, it's not in the airspace, and therefore it's not a kiddush bakli, and therefore it's not going to be the conclusion of the puzzle act of kmitza. And that's why according to Ben Masei, you could put it back in. So that is the Gemara, but if that's the case, how you're describing it, then umikamitz hecha kametz, then how initially did he go ahead and do the kmitza from this vessel that you're saying he's putting it back into, but you told me it's gadish, it's overflowing. And kmitza has to be from within the airspace of the vessel, because anything that needs a kli is only considered kli in the airspace of it. So how is this even initially a kmitza that you're saying that it has problems with it? It wasn't a kmitza if you're saying it's overflowing. Eli rather says the Gemara, no, kugun shechzir levisa tefufu. We're talking about where he put it back into a rounded flour pile, which is not overflowing. Now, so therefore when they did the kmitza, he did it from within the airspace of the vessel, and he did the kmitza from the inside. And as we're going to shortly explain, when he puts it back in, now that the kmitza is going to be in the overflowing part of the vessel. Because as the Gemara asks, wait a second, v'kivin the kametz lay, if you're telling me that it was not overflowing, it was just a rounded part of the flour offering. But once he does a kmitza, he did a fistful of the gumas, now he made a cavity in the flour, because he took out a fistful in the middle. Kimahadir, now when he goes and puts the kmitza back into that pit, it's in the airspace of the kli. So legaved demandika mahadli, he's putting back into the airspace of the vessel. So you're back to the question. If you explained how it was able to be kmitz in the first place, so therefore now you made a problem. Now it's not any more overflowing, so he's putting back in the airspace. That again should be a kiddush bakli, which should thus be the culmination of the psul of kmitz, which even that those opinions said that Ben Bisei would hold that it's going to be puzzled, that you cannot do it over. Says the Gemara, no, mechimahadile, when he puts it back, he doesn't put it back into the middle where he did the kmitza from. Yeah, there is a cavity, and if he would put it back over there, it would be itoich kli, and it would be niskadish b'kli, and then it would be pasul, and even Ben Masei would agree you can't do it over. But manichle adafne de mana, he puts it back on the side of the vessel, which next to the pit, he puts it back on the overflowing part of the vessel, which that's over the airspace of the vessel. And he shakes the vessel and it falls by itself into the pit. Now the reason why he has to do that is because you have to do it over again. It has to be fit for the kmitz of the kain. The kmitz of the kain has to be in the airspace. But since it fell back in by itself, because he just shook it, he didn't push it back into the airspace himself, it's like as if a monkey went and pushed it back into the vessel, and therefore the vessel is not going to be considered kiddush b'kli. Because although, like we said, according to this interpretation of Avram, that a klisharis could be mekadesh even shalei midas, even without intent, but that's only where at least the person himself put it back in, just without intent of being mekadesh it. But here, he didn't put it back in. It's like a monkey put it in, it just fell by itself, and therefore there was no act of kiddush b'kli at all, and that's why it's not being sanctified. And therefore, it's not going to be a culmination of the invalidation. And therefore, when it falls back in, it's like back, and that's where Ben Masera said you could go ahead and do over the kmitz again. Now, however, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira, he asked, why do you have to answer that that was the case? Why do you have to say that it was going to talk about where, why do Rav Amram have to say that it's going to be where it was put back onto the sides, on the top, and then it falls in by itself? The Lukma just explained it. He put it back into the vessel when the vessel of that flour, the original flour, was on the ground. And that's why it's not going to sanctify it. Elishmamina, rather, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira, must be, the reason why that wasn't the answer that they said, that koimtzin, that the kmitzah's procedure could be meklisha gabi karka, that's even valid if you do it from a vessel that's on the ground, and therefore also over here, when they put the kmitzah back into the vessel which had all the mixed up flour, it was even on the ground, and that's not going to be considered something that not kiddush bekli to say, oh, it never culminated. It did, because it doesn't make a difference if the vessel's on the floor or if it's being held, it would be valid even on the floor, and therefore that wouldn't be a good enough saying that it's not Kiddush Bekli, because it would be Mekadosh even on the floor. And that's why I have to say there's two different approaches, either that of Rabbi Yechonah, where it was done without the Das of being Mekadosh, or like Rav Amram, where he put it back into a part which was not in the airspace. Now, however, Amalei, Rabbi Zeir said back to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kanagas Bibaya the Bailon, you're touching now regarding a question that we had asked, in other words, that a colleague of ours had asked, which was Rav Nachman, who asked this question from Avimi, as the Gemara doesn't explain. I mean, you're saying you want to infer from the fact that they didn't give this answer that you could do kmitza and you could do all this kiddush bekli with a kmitza even on the ground. This was a question that was asked. Because, as he says, the narrative, he says, Rabbi Avimi, Tani Menachas Berav Chizra. Rabbi Avimi was learning the halachas of Menachas in the yeshiva of Chizra. Which Igmar jumps in and asks, Vavimi Berav Chizda, Tani Avimi was learning Berav Chizda? But Vamar Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda was a student of Avimi. Because Rav Chizda said, Kul Fitavi, many hits, Bali Mavimi, I absorbed, I suffered from Avimi. In other words, he would hit me, the Rebbe, Allah the Hashmaitza, regarding this teaching, which was brought him a Sefdis Erechim. There's one Bryce that says that when they evaluate the properties of orphans to sell it off, that you have to announce it for 30 days. Another Bryce says for 60 days. So Avimi answered the contradiction. They said, it depends. Bola Hachras, if he's coming to announce it Ritzufin, consecutive days, every day of the week, then he announces only for Lamad Yom. Then you only have to announce it for 30 days, and then you could sell it off. Sheni v'chamishi, but if they're announcing only Mondays and Thursdays, then Samach Yom, then you have to count 60 days from the day that you start until the day that you end, which comes out to be a total of 18 days of announcement during those 60 days, because it's only on Mondays and Thursdays. And they announce who wants to buy the properties of these orphans, and the reason why they make these announcements so that they should get a lot of attraction to for the bidding of who wants to pay for the properties of the orphans. Now, Rav Chizda would forget the answer, and Avimi would disgrace him. Now, but one thing we see from here is that Rav Chizda was a student of Avimi. How could you say Avimi was learning in the yeshiva of Rav Chizda? Says the Gemara, Avimi mesechtis akra isakrali. Avimi forgot this learning, this teaching, this mesechta. V'asakamid Rav Chizda latkuri gamari, and therefore he came to his student to learn in his yeshiva to remember the teachings that he had learned. Now that has the Gemara v'lishlach leit. Why didn't he just send to Rav Chizda v'leis legabei to tell his student to come to him? He's the Rebbe. Let the student come to him and teach him what he had forgotten. So the Gemara knows savar hachi mistayeh milsit. He thought that this is going to be better, that he should be able to remember and recall his learning, because like the Gemara says in Megillah Davar Mabeis, yigatzi mitzasi tam, and the only way one acquires the teaching of learning is if he puts in the effort and the toil. So by going there to his student and putting the effort, he felt that that was going to be more of being able to get to the mitzvah of Torah than having a student come to him. But be that as it may, that's what it says that Avimi was learning in the yeshiva of Chizda, and Pogabei Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman encountered Avimi. Amalei said to him, Ketzad Kaimtzin. So he's learning Menachas, and yeshiva of Chizda by his student, and Rav Nachman asked him, Ketzad Kaimtzin, how do we do this kmitza, the fistful that's done in the Beis HaMikdash? So Amalei, so he said to him, he saw a vessel that was laying there on the ground, and he said, Mikliza, from such a vessel, if this vessel would be sanctified, then it would be fit to do a kmitza from it. On that, Amalei Rav Nachman said to him, V'chi kaimtzin Miklisha gabi karka? What are you saying, like this, that it's on the ground? Are you allowed to do kmitza from a vessel that's on the ground? Amalei, so Avimi said to him, no, digmag balei kain. I was saying, meaning if such a vessel, if the kain was holding it, then that's how they would do the kmitza. So he continued asking him. He says, Ketzim akachin es, and the gear says, hakaimitz. How does one do the sanctification of the kmitza after that the kmitza is done? Now, how do they sanctify it? So Amalei said to him, nish nukliza, he puts it into a vessel like this. So again, they asked him, b'chim akachin b'klisha gabi karku, could you sanctify? The first one was asking, doing a kmitza from a kli. Then one has to go ahead and sanctify it in a kli. So he says, what, you get sanctified in the vessel that's on the ground? Amalei says to him, no, demag balei kain. I was saying, if such a vessel, if the kain was holding it, then that other kain could put the kmitza into the vessel that would sanctify it. So Amalei said to him, im kain, so based on what you had just told me up until now, hutra chasa gimel kahanim, you require for the avoid of kmitza to have three kahanim. You need two to lift up the two different vessels, one to do the kmitza from, and one to put the kmitza into, and you need the third kohen to do the actual kmitza. Now, the reason why you can't have one kohen to hold both vessels is because he can't do the avodah with the left hand. So you can only do it with the right hand. So one has to hold the vessel to do the kmitza from, other one has to hold the one that you put into, and then one does the act of kmitza. So Amalei said to him, okay, and let it require 13 kahanim, like the carbon tamid, which requires 13 kahanim to do the avodah with the carbon tamid, as Gemara says in Yuma, Nav Chafeim and Av. Basically, okay, so fine, requires 3. What's the difference? We find avodahs require 13. However, Isvei, but Rav Nachman asked him from a Mishnah later on, Nav Yud Bezim and Av. The Mishnah says, Zeakal, this is the rule. Kala Kaimitz. And goes through the different avodahs that relate to a carbon mincha. Whoever does the kmitza act, or v'neis n'mekli, or puts it into the vessel, or hamelech, or transports the mincha, or v'amakto, or actually burns the kmitza on the mizbeach, and as he does it with a machshava b'skula, which is what that Mishnah is talking about, lechel davar shadarcha lechel b'chulu, to eat something which is normally eaten, beyond this time, beyond this place, it talks about those halachas. But one thing says Rav Nachman, v'ilam agibiyah leketani, if you're telling me that it's talking about the different avodahs that kahanim do, which is, yeah, the kmitza, putting in the vessel. Why doesn't it mention the kohen has to lift up the vessel? Obviously, it does not have to be lifted up. And that says, Avimi, no. Tana, the Tana of that Mishnah, Seder Avodas Nakat, is just taking the order of the acts of service that one kohen could do consecutively, one after the other. First he does the kmitza, then he does the kabbalah, then he does the halacha, then he does the aktara. But v'loi Seder Kahanim is not saying the order of Kahanim, is not saying how many Kahanim are necessary in the Avodah. Yes, you would need another one to lift it up, but that is not integral for the discussion that the Mishnah there is talking about. It's talking about the Seder of Avodahs. Those are the types of Avodahs. Hagbav, the Kli, is not an Avodah. Receiving in the vessel, that's Avodah. But to say about lifting up, that was not his intent. But continues the Gemara on this topic, now with a different personality. They ask from Rav Sheshes, same type of questioning. What's the halacha? Can you do kmitza from a vessel that's on the ground? Someone brought his yisar and the flour, it's on the ground, the kohen comes and does a kmitza, could he do it from the ground? So Amalei Rav Sheshes said to him, Pukhazi ma'avdin lagav, go out and see, what do they do inside? Meaning in the heichel. And what do they do in the sanctuary? Where the Mishnah says later on, that Tzadik Tesem Abeis, Arba kahanim nechnasin. Four kahanim would enter into the heichel on Shabbos, Shnayim biyadim beisidarm. So two kahanim would have in their hands, each one order of the showbreads, of the lechem apanim, where there were two orders, there were six on each one, there would be six piles of breads, there would be six breads on two different piles for a total of 12 breads. So one kohen was holding one order, which was six breads, another one would hold the other order of six breads. Vishnayim biyadim shnei bezichin, another two kohen would hold the two spoonfuls of the frankincense. So that was four kahanim. Now, v'arba mekam lefneim, there would be four kahanim who go in before them. Shnayim litol shnei sedarim. Two, each one would take in one order of the of bread. So one would be taking six loaves, one on top of the other. One would take the other six loaves. Ubeis litol beis bezichin, and the other two would take in the other two spoonfuls of frankincense that were there from the previous week. And now the other ones, they put in the new ones to for the next week of Shabbos. Now, it's katin tamid beis, they asked, that says Rav Sheshes, Vila Magbias Ashulchan. However, regarding lifting up the table, which is that to have another kayin, they're talking about Hamikahanim coming in. To have another one lift up the table at the time when they're taking off the bezichin, like a tani, that the Mishnah doesn't say. So obviously you see that the Levina, the Kli, could be taken off, meaning the table, that's the Kli, could be on the ground when you remove the bezichin. Now, the bezichin, those spoonfuls of frankincense, are what permit the breads to be eaten by the kahanim, which is essentially the same thing as what kmitza full, a fistful of flour, is for the rest of the mincha, where the kaimitz is called an askara, it's a remembrance that's burnt on the mizbeach, and the bezichin are also called askara, that's also sacrificed, like it says, v'hoysa lechem askara. Now, just like the kaimitz is what permits the leftover mincha to be eaten, like the pasuk says, when it says, when a mincha is me'isha Hashem, so too, the levain is what permits the lechem upon to be eaten. And so you see that when they remove it, the table, which is like the vessel, could be on the ground. So therefore, that's the same thing, says Rav Sheshes, also over here, where you could have the kli on the floor when you're doing the siluk bezichin, and what the equivalent over here is the kmitza. On that they said, no, lav amar hasam, didn't you say over there, say da avodas nakar, that it wasn't a raya, because the Mishnah was just mentioning the order of avodas. Hachanami say da avodas nakar, here also it's just saying the order of the avodas. which are lechem aponim, which are needed for the kam to eat, levoina to be burnt on the mizbeach, but the lifting up the table, that's not considered a significant avoida. Maybe you do need someone to lift it up, but we're not mentioning him because that's not a significant part of the avoida. On that, says Rav Sheshet back, midam, is it comparable? Hasam le'nachas le'minyana de'kahanim. There, it wasn't going into the numbers of the kam. It didn't say am nikanim. It was just going in the order of avoidas. Kamitza, kabbalah b'kli, haylocha, aktara. Hacha, nachas le'minyana de'kahanim. But here, it's mentioning the numbers of kahanim. You need two for this, two for that, two for this, two for that. In Isa, but it would be true that you need to lift up the shulchan. Listen, Magbir should have said another individual that goes in there who lifts up the table, the shulchan. Obviously, you can infer from there that you can do the kmitza even in the vessel, it's on the ground, just like the shulchan, which is the equivalent when you remove the siluk bezichin, that's also from the shulchan, which is on the floor. Now, continuing on this discussion, Omar Ravi says, pshitli, it's obvious to me, that you could do the kmitza from the vessel of a flower, even if the vessel is on the ground. Like we just mentioned before, like Rav Sheshet, is that because we find that you can remove the bezichin when the shulchan is on the floor. So too continues Rava, Mikachin Mincha, one could sanctify the flower, meaning when a person who wants to bring a mincha brings the flower from his house, he puts it in Bikli into a vessel to sanctify it, Shalga Bekarka, that he could do it, the initial flower which is put in the vessel of the Kli Shavos, that it could also be on the ground. Shekein Metzin, Besidu Bezicha, because we find the same thing when they organize the order of the spoonfuls of the frankincense, which they organize the bread, which is so to speak, the shirayim, the leftovers, because that's what's eaten, and the bezichin, which is the equivalent of the kemitza, they're put onto the table when the table's on the ground, which is the same thing regarding the mincha. When the person brings it from his house, where in that mincha is mixed together the kemitz and the shirayim, which is the same thing as the bezichin and the lechem aponim, that they're put on into the vessel when it's on the ground. So those two are obvious to me, that they could be on the ground. But by Rava, what Rava had a question was, Kiddush Kaimitz Mai. What's halacha after the kmitza is done? We spoke about two stages. We spoke about putting the initial flour into the vessel to sanctify it. That could be, that Kiddush could be even when it's on the floor. Then after that, taking the kmitza, we said that could also be when it's on the ground. And both of those rice were from the bezichin, from the frankincense that's on the shulchan, regarding the lechem upon. But then there's a third step. After the kmitza is done, then you have to sanctify that in the vessel. What's the halacha with that? Because that we don't find by bezichim, because when they would remove the bezichim from the shulchan, which again is the equivalent of the kmitza, so then they would go ahead and, without putting into a vessel, they would right away go ahead and sacrifice that on the mizbeach. So that you can't resolve what would be regarding by the mincha, where you do need to sanctify the kmitza in the vessel, what would the halacha be? Could that be done when it's into a vessel that's on the ground or not? As the Gemara explains, what's this question? Do we say mincha yalfin la that we learned it out from a flower offering, which we said that when you want to sanctify it in the vessel, the initial bringing of the flower, it's kosher even on the ground. So to over here, the kmitza could also be put into a vessel when it's on the ground. Oy medam yalfin la, or maybe we learned it out from the receiving of the blood of an animal, which the pasuk says v'hikrivu b'nei Aaron, that the sons of Aaron have to receive the blood, which is obviously that they're holding the vessel; it's in their hand; it's not on the ground. As the Brisa says in Torah's Kain, v'hikrivu refers to the Kabbalah Sadam. Now, the reason why we would learn out, as the Gemara actually ends up resolving it like that, that from the blood of a carbon, so to regarding the kedushas of the kmitza in a kli, is because, like we've said in the beginning of the Masechta, the four avodas of a mincha parallel the four avodas by a zevach, by an animal sacrifice, where the sanctifying of the kmitza correlates to these four avodas. The kmitza itself is like the shchita. The kiddush of the kmitza in the vessel is like the Kabbalah Sadam. The halacha is like the halacha, and the haktara of the kmitz is like the zrika of the dam. So maybe you learn it out from dam, which, like we said, the kahanim have to hold it cannot be on the ground. So too, the kiddush of the kmitz in the kli also has to be held and not on the ground. And the hadar pashta, Rav ultimately ended up answering midam yilfinla, as we said, they parallel each other, that we learn it out from dam, and just like dam is going to be possible if it's on the ground to receive the blood from the animal, so too, regarding the kiddush of the kmitz in the kli, has to be held and not on the ground. And that is the Gemara. Miyomer Rava Hachi. Did Rava really say that we learn out the kmitza from the laws of the dam? But ve'itma. But we learned kaimitz shecholku b'shnei kelim regarding a kmitza, the fistful that was not put into one vessel. Was half of it was put into one vessel, and the other half was put into another vessel. So you have machleik is Rav Nachman Amar in the kaddish. It's not sanctified. You have to have the whole kmitza in one kli. But Rava Amar Kaddish, and he says it is sanctified. On that is the Gemara, but Vim Isa, but if it's true that Rabba holds you learn at the halachas of Kemitza from the Kabbalah Sadam of a Behema, Leilev Mi Dam, then he should have learned it out the laws from Dam, and as the Gemara is going to say shortly, by blood, it does not become sanctified in halves. In other words, if let's say someone receives the requisite measurement of Hazois, let's say of the blood of Asham Metzairah, or of a Dam or Parm of Asir Mahanisrafim, and it's received not in one vessel but in two different vessels, as the Gemara is going to say later on, he hasn't done anything. So if that's the case, then we should learn that the laws of Kemitza from Dam, and then Rabbah shouldn't say it's Kaddish. He should say, like Rav Nachman, that it's not Kaddish. If you say that Rabbah holds it, you learn that Kemitza from Dam. So the Gemara, you're right. Hod debay Rabbah mahi. Rabbah retracted from this teaching that we just quoted. Because it's most definitely true. If he splits the Kemitza into two halves, it's not going to be holy, because we do learn that from Dam. And just like Dam is not holy in two halves, so too, it's not going to be Kaddish, the Kemitza in two halves. And that asked the Gemara, and to clarify, v'dam enon de la kodesh lechatzah. And how do we know, which that's why we proved that Rava must say the kemitza is puzzle if it's in two halves, because we learn from dam, how do we know that by dam, it's not going to sanctify the blood in the kedushas kli if it's done in halves? So says the Gemara, because the Tanya Rav Tachlifa ben Shal, taught in the Braisim, kiddush, if someone sanctified what's called the mechatas, the paraduma waters, paches mechadei hazah, but he did it less than the amount of how much could be sprayed, which is, there has to be enough that you could dip in the tip of the growths, which are used to spray with on the gevoilin, which are the tips of the azab that they would use to spray. You have to have enough that you could dip the tips in and spray. So let's say he sanctified from the waters less than the amount that could be sprayed, beklize in this vessel, upachis mechdeh hazo beklize, and then the amount of less that could be sprayed in another vessel. And that says, Rav Tachlifa ben Shaul, loy kiddush. Meaning, even if later on they went and they mixed together after the kiddush, which is when they put the water on the ashes of the paraduma after it was burnt, then they mixed it and now there is enough to dip the gevoilin in to spray it, doesn't make a difference. It was never sanctified because it was done in halves. And that be by Ludat. So that's regarding the paraduma waters, regarding the ashes with the water to be sprayed to purify the person who became Tamei B'Tamei Mix. Now, if you buy that, the following question, B'damai, what's the halacha regarding the blood of a carbon? If, let's say, the blood of the Se'irim or the Parma Nisrafim, where they have to be sprayed, and it was received, let's say, the amount of, they have to do seven sprays, so three sprays worth were received in one vessel, and four sprays worth were received in another vessel. What's going to be halacha over there? What's the question? So the Gemara explains, Hilchasihi, is this halacha by the paraduma, halacha l'meshe Mesinai, that you can't receive it in halves? If it's halacha l'meshe Mesinai, umechasa l'yafina, you can't compare to another halacha context from halacha l'meshe Mesinai. Therefore, we wouldn't have a source that by dam it's possible it's done in halves, and actually would be kosher. Oidim, or maybe, no. Hasa my time. What's the reason by paraduma that it's possible in halves? Because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Mamidbar b'tavol b'mayim, you have to be able to dip it into the water, which means it has to have enough in there to dip it in. So if you do it in halves, it never sanctified it. Oh, so then Hachanami Hoksev, here also by the halachas of the blood, it says in Mayukar b'tavol b'dam, that you immerse it into the blood, which means say that there has to be enough to immerse in there. So that was the question that we had. Vidman, it was said that Omer Zeko, Omer Belazar, he says, Af Badam Likidish, that yes, also in blood, it's not going to sanctify it in halves, because it's not from a halacha meshamasin, rather it's learned from Pesukim. And just like it says, Vitabal over there, have to be enough to dip in. Here also says, Vitabal over here, Badam, that has to be enough to dip in. And that's how we know that by blood, it's not going to be Mekadish if it's less than the amount that can be dipped in. And therefore, since Rava learns out the laws of Kemitza from Kabbalah Sadam, that's why he's going to say also by the Kemitza that you can't do it in halves, and that's why he retracted from the halacha, because it also has to have the same halacha, which it's not going to be Mekadish in halves. Now, on that Amar Rava, he says, that Tanya Namahachi, similar to Nabraisa, that by Dam, it's not going to be Mekadish in halves. Because the Braisa says, the tavel, when it says in the pasuk to dip, says the Braisa, so what does it mean to dip? V'loy maspig, and not to wipe his fingers in the wall of the vessel. When the kohen takes his finger to spray the blood, which that's the hazalis that it would do, you have to dip your finger into the bowl, and you can't wipe it. It means there has to be a certain amount of blood that you're dipping. You have to dip and not wipe. Now, when the pasuk continues, says v'tavel badam into the blood, that sounds like that there's a measurement of the blood there from the beginning, and that's what you're dipping your finger into, that teaches Shehei Badam Shir Tefila Meikari, that there should be enough of the blood, or the measurement of dipping from the beginning, and only then is it going to be Kaddish in the Kli. When the pasuk continues and says v'hiza min hadam, that he should spray from the blood. What does it mean from the blood? Of course, that's what he's spraying from. It means min hadam should be inyan, from the blood. That's in the context that we're speaking about in the pasuk, which the Gemara later on is going to explain what that's referring to. But the Gemara first explains v'itzuch lemichta betavel. We had to have both these drushes of betavel v'itzuch lemichta betavel. You have to have the drush of betavel because seemingly the question is they're both saying the same idea. It's saying you have to have a certain amount of blood in the vessel because if there's too little, you're going to be wiping. And if there's too little, then you didn't have the shear, meikar. Why do you need both of these drushes? Says the Gemara, because the ikas of rechman the betavel, if we only have the drush of that you have to dip it in and not wipe your finger. So havimina, I would have said, avagavdali kibul shir tefilas. But that's even if that it wasn't accepted, the measurement of the dippings, meaning of all the sprayings, which the parentheses adds on the word, dahainu hazal zayin pom, that's the seven sprays, meikar from the beginning. Meaning, as long as you have at every dipping, the measurement that you need to dip, that's going to be good enough. You just can't wipe. But it doesn't say anything about initially having it all together, being the Skadish Bekli, that you need all the measurements at one time. That's why the Torah says, the next word, in the blood, which sounds like that the measurement of the blood has to be there from the beginning. You can't collect it in halves and then mix them together. Now, because Rechman of Adam, had we only had the second word of Badam in the blood, I would have said, okay, you have to have the measurement of all the blood in the vessel that's enough to dip. But once you have that measurement, then you can even wipe it on the wall of the vessel and you don't have to dip it in. That's why I say to dip it in, that, yeah, both of them are talking about minimum measurements, but you have to dip it and not wipe, and also has to have the measurement of the blood from there, from the beginning. So therefore, that again, that's the source that Rav is saying, that we see that the blood can't be in halves, which supports that teaching of Rav Zeka Amar Rav Elazar, which again is the source why Rav is going to have to obviously hold that, just like he says that you learn it from Dam Yalfinala, that it's going to be possible to go ahead and be Mekadosh the Kmitza in the Kli on the floor, just like the Kabbalah Sadam can't be on the floor, so too he's going to hold that you cannot be Mekadosh Lechatzayin, just as you cannot be Mekadosh the Dam Lechatzayin. Now, the Gemara now clarifies that we mentioned before, when Adam should be inyan, when it says that he sprays it from the blood, so that the Brisa says, when Adam should be inyan from the blood that we're talking about, Lemuti Mai, what is that coming to exclude? And it says that he does the avoid over there in the regarding these the parm that are done outside, so that he has to spray it towards the Pnei Pareches HaKadosh. He has to spray it, seven times, certain karbonas that they do inside the Heichel, he has to spray it with his finger. So it says that he sprays it. And we said he has to be betavel and badam, and then he sprays from the blood. What does it mean? Lemuudim, what does it come to exclude? What other blood are we talking about that's not going to be kosher? So Merabi says, Lemuuti shiraim shebe'etzba. It's going to exclude the leftover blood that's on his finger, meaning that he has to, when he does, he has to spray seven times, he has to dip in his finger between every spray. And that's how we learn the pasuk. When it says v'hizim adam, that he sprays from the blood, which the Braisa interprets to say what's in the context that we're talking about before, meaning the pasuk is started off by saying v'tavel ha-kohen etzboi badam, the kohen dips his finger into the blood. Now, from that blood in the vessel that he dips his finger in, that's what the pasuk says, that he should spray the blood, meaning all the sprays have to be from the blood in the vessel and not from the leftover blood that's on his finger. So if he dipped in, he has a heavy dip, and he sprayed once, he can't just spray a second time. He has to go ahead and dip his finger back in to go ahead and spray the second time. Says the Gemara, Masayeli Rabbelazar, that supports Rabbelazar. Dhamma that he says, Shirayim Shabbat, yeah, the leftover blood on the finger is actually invalid. That's not kosher. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. You have to dip it back in to go ahead and have fresh blood from the vessel. Now, on that Amalei Ravim by Rav Ada L'Rav, he asked on Rava, he says that, but Amri Talmitcha, I mean, you're saying that what's Min Adam Shab'inyan telling you? Excluding the leftovers of the blood on the finger. But he says, Amri Talmitcha, your student said that Amr Vam, the Rav Am said, that Tanya will learn in the Braisa. Hayamaza, if he was spraying, this is the halachas that we're talking about from the blood of the Karmachatzis, for example, the Parma Sriman Srafim, where before we had spoken about the paradim, which that's on a different mountain. This pasuk that we're talking about of tavel hakohen is tzboi badam, which the pasuk of Yukar Perek Dal Pasavah. We're talking about those karbanas parma sima strafim where they're done inside the heichel and they have to be sprayed seven times towards the heichel. So the brisa says, if let's say he was spraying the nitza hazam miyadoi, and now the spray sprayed out from his hand and it spilled on his garments. So, says the Braisa, it depends. Im actually, he's a, if he didn't yet spray it, the blood hasn't been sprayed yet. So, that blood that fell on his garment is still appropriate to be sprayed inside the Heichel, because it wasn't sprayed yet. So, it's considered halachically like the blood of Kodesh. And therefore, Tain, so his garment requires kibbutz, has to be washed, like the pasuk says, Vasher yizim edam ala beged, whatever sprays in the garment, he has to wash it. But however, says the Braisa, if mishahiza, let's say it only fell on him after it was already sprayed. So that's not considered like blood of Kodesh anymore because the mitzvah is already done. So then ain't toin kibbutz. Then the garment doesn't have to be washed. So that asks Rav and Bar Adi to Rav, my love, isn't what the Braisa is saying? Actually, gomar haza asai. If he didn't yet finish all the seven sprays, that's what the Braisa is teaching. Oh, he didn't finish all the sprays yet. So then, if any of that blood spills on his garment, he has to wash it, even if it only fell from the leftovers of his fingers. As long as all the sprays weren't done yet, all the blood is considered blood of Kodesh, and therefore he would have to wash his garments, which is what the Gemara is going to ask from. Obviously, you see that even the blood on his fingers is still kosher to be sprayed, and it's not possible to shiraim sheba etzba. And umishagam has asay. And when it says that he sprayed, it means when all the seven sprays were done, then that, all the mitzvah was done already, then of course that blood is not blood of Kodesh, and therefore you wouldn't have to wash your garments. But shmaminab, one thing that we infer from here, not like you, is the shreim shabetzbek shame. Obviously, you see the left of blood on the finger is valid, as long as all the seven weren't done yet, even if let's say he's by number three, that all the blood that gets on him, because it doesn't differentiate, would make him have to wash his garments. Obviously, it's not possible dam, it is considered dam Kodesh, even the blood on his fingers. And that says Rav Elai, no, that's not the interpretation of the Braisa. When it says, actually hiza, it means actually yatisa miyadi haza. If the blood didn't yet get sprayed out of his hand onto the pareches, instead it fell on his garment, that's what the Braisa is saying, toin kibus. That then he has to wash his garment because the primary haza, which wasn't sprayed yet, which is the dam HaKadosh, fell on him. But when it says, Mishahiza, it means umishayatza hazamayada, but if the spray really left his hand, and the venitza mimashanisher, but then actually it is saying explicitly according to this interpretation, Rabbi Salacha, but then if the leftover blood, which is on his finger, that remains after he sprayed, that fell on his garment, ain't toin kibbutz. That's what doesn't require to be washed, because like we said, that actually that dam is possible, but it's not dam kodesh to require if it falls on his garment to be washed. But the Gemara continues asking on Rava, Isri Abaya. Abaya asks from a Mishnah, Masechtas Parah. The Mishnah says, Gamim Elahazis. And this is going back to the other case we mentioned before. If he finished spraying the blood of the Parah Duma on Har Mishcha, which is a neighboring mountain to where the Beis HaMikdash was, and they sprayed towards the direction of the Eil Ma'id, if he finished all the sprays, this different avoidis by the paraduma. There's the ashes of the paraduma with the water that gets sprayed on the person that became tamei. But then part of that is also that the blood of the paraduma gets sprayed towards the Beis HaMikdash. So if they finished all the sprays, so mekanech yadei begufei shel para. So then he wipes his hand that has blood on it on the body of the para, and then all that is burnt. Now, says Abaya, but one thing you see is gamar in. Only when he finishes all the sprays, then he wipes his hand. If he didn't finish it, he doesn't. Obviously, that the leftover blood on his fingers are going to be valid, and because if it was invalid, you'd have to wipe it off. And you see, he doesn't have to wipe it off. Obviously, it's not problematic, which is not like Rava. On that Amalei, Rava said to him, no. Gamar, when he finishes all the avodas, all the sprays, mekanech yadai, then he wipes his whole hand, as the wording of the Mishnah is saying. And the reason is because you need all the blood to be burnt with the par, and there's still some leftover blood on his hand. Loi gomer, if he didn't finish all seven yet, still mekanech etzba'ai, he has to wipe his finger between every spray. His hand he doesn't have to, but on his finger, which has that pasul dam, because once the spray was done, that leftover on his finger is pasul, that he has to wipe off. And if it doesn't contradict me, it's only when he finishes all seven that he has to wipe his whole hand, so that every blood that's all over, not just on the finger that he's spraying with, that it has to be wiped. Now that is the Gemara Bishlei Megama. We understand when he finishes all the sprays, mekanech yodei begufei shel para. So he wipes his hand on the body of the bull, because the bull's in front of him when it's being burnt, which is after he comes down from the mountain, and that's where he wipes his hand. So still like the pasuk says, b'midbar b'sarf as a parleinov. They have to burn the bull in front of him. So when he's done, he comes down, he wipes his hand, and they burn it. Eloloi gamar, but regarding this element that if he didn't finish all the sprays yet, you tell me mekanech etzbo, he has to wipe off his finger between every spray. B'may mekanech? On what is he going to wipe his hands? What, you think between every spray he's going to come down from Har Mishcha to wipe his hand on the body of the bull which is on the bottom of the mountain? Which actually the parentheses, which is not like Rashi's interpretation, gives a different reasoning why that would be problematic. Because the Yamrit Begufa Shabara, if you would say that it is on the body of the bull, then their problem is, then it should have said, Why does it only say that he wipes his hand on the body of the bull? It should have said that he actually wipes his hand and his finger, because that's between each one, on the body of the bull. In fact, that it doesn't say this. Obviously, you don't have to wipe your hand on the bull. So then, if you say he has to wipe his finger, so what is he wiping his finger on? He says on the edge of the vessel that receives the blood. Like the pasuk in Ezra calls it kefir zahav b'chulu. It calls the mizrakin, which are the vessels where the blood is received, kefir zahav. Why is it called that? Because since they wiped their finger on it, like in this halacha, like the Gemara in Gittin says, when someone that wiped his hands is called v'kafir yadav hu gavra, that it means the terminology of wiping. That's actually why it's called kefir zahav, because they wiped the finger, which is where he wipes his finger between each one. Because yes, like Rabbi said, that he has to wipe his hand at the end, but his finger between each one, because the shiraim shebe etzba are going to be pasul, and that's what the halacha was said there in that braisa regarding the words that vehiza min hadam spreads from the blood. What's blood? The blood that we're talking about before, which is from the vessel, because you can't do the leftovers that's on his finger. And the reason why we had this is because we were talking about the interpretation of v'tovel hakoyenes as boy badam, which we said that by badam it says that it has to be that shear in the vessel beforehand, which is how we know that you cannot be mekablet bechatzayin in two halves, which again, that's what we said through that Rabbah's teaching, that would then extend also to the laws of Menachos, which we also learn out from Dam, like we said regarding the halacha of you cannot be mekadosh the kmitza b'kli on the floor, just like you cannot be mekadosh the Dam from a carbon on the floor, and so too you cannot be mekadosh, which Rabbah retracted, the mincha in halves, that it has to be all at one time, just like we learn out from the halachas of Dam.